morning. My name is Gabriela Nevesadi, and as Emmanuel said, I'm going to be talking to you about the national evaluation of the Community Networks Program. I'm going to start by giving you a brief background on the CNP, talk about how this evaluation cycle that Emmanuel talked about, how we've adapted it for the CNP, including the steps, and then give you just some findings from years one and two of our evaluation, as well as lessons learned. So the CNP is a five-year program funded at the $95 million level, and the main aim of the CNP is to reduce cancer health disparities among racial and ethnic minorities, as well as underserved populations, through community-based participatory education, research, and training. This is a follow-on to a previous five-year award funded through the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities at NCI, which was the Special Populations Network, and several of the CNPs did have this award. For the CNP, NCI made 25 cooperative agreement awards, and the program is implemented in three cumulative phases. So when one phase starts, it continues through the rest of the program. When the second phase begins, it is added on to the previous phase. And each of these phases have their own specific goals and objectives. So for these goals, the phase one goal is a capacity building goal. This is to increase the capacity and develop the infrastructure for the CNPs to be able to operate. And under this goal, they also conduct educational activities. The second goal is a research and training goal. And together, phase one and phase two, they focus on increasing utilization of what NCI has designated as beneficial interventions. So, for example, diet and exercise programs, screening. In phase three, the goal is one of credibility and sustainability. Our overall technical approach has been one where we are guided by a conceptual framework that was developed by NCI during a feasibility phase. Our work is anchored by the goals and objectives that have been defined in the RFA for the CNPs, and we collect both quantitative and qualitative data, and we triangulate these findings. And the aim of our national evaluation is to provide data to inform and support CRCHD's programmatic decisions. I'm not going to go over this conceptual framework in detail, but I did want to point out a couple of things. One is that the diagram does emphasize the expectations for measurable outcomes, as Emmanuel said. Let me see if I can do this with the mouse. CNP goes through this intermediate impact level, 3 to 5 years. There is not an expectation that CNPs will be able to achieve these kinds of long-term outcomes, and therefore a national evaluation does not take measures at that level. The other thing that this framework shows is the feedback loop, the evaluation feedback loop. So we collect data, and our data is fed back into the program. Okay, this is just the evaluation cycle as we adapted it for the CNP, and I'm going to be talking about each of these steps. All right, the first step, as Emmanuel said, is to engage stakeholders. And for us, our key stakeholders are the CNP staff, the PIs and all of their staff, their local evaluators, their program managers, and their partners, as well as national evaluators, our partners, are the program directors at NCI. We've used a participatory approach throughout both the design and the implementation of our national evaluation. So, for example, all our data collection tools are vetted through the CNPs. This is a long process, but it is crucial and really makes sure that we're collecting the data that all the CNPs believe is the right approach. And as I said, we collaborate closely with NCI through all of our process. The second step in the cycle is to develop an understanding of the CNP. This is something that we do continuously. We're always trying to get a more in-depth understand the complexities of the CNP. But when we started the national evaluation, what we did is we started with a thorough literature review of the literature on cancer health disparities. We held extensive discussions with NCI. we reviewed all the grantee materials that were provided to us, and we abstracted key information into a database, just an internal database for us to help us understand each of these programs. The third step is to plan for the evaluation or focus the evaluation. As I said, we've designed the evaluation to measure the achievements of the RFA goals and objectives. Everything we do is really tied back to the RFA. We developed logic models, and one of the things that we did in our logic model is that, and I'll show you an example in a minute, is that we linked the objectives for each phase across the activities, the outputs, and the outcomes so that we could, and then we identified core data elements from these logic models. So the logic model really helped us ensure that we were efficient in the data that we're collecting. As Emmanuel mentioned in his slides, it's important to collect the data that you need to answer your research questions and not go beyond that. The CNPs have a lot on their plate, and so they do not need to collect data that is not going to be useful for the national evaluation in terms of what they report to us. We developed data collection tools, and then we found that the most efficient way to get data from across 25 different CNPs was through a web-based system. And so we have developed a web-based system that we've used to collect these data. And again, as I mentioned before, we obtained the CNP, PIs, and local evaluator and program managers' input throughout this whole process as we developed the logic models, as we identified the core data elements, developed our data collection tools. The CNPs were instrumental in giving us feedback and really helping us decide on what are the key questions to answer. And they've also been helping us test the beta test, the web tool. Each time we make an improvement, they're helping us beta test. Okay. I don't want to go over every word here, but this also I wanted to show. This is an example from one of our logic models. I just pulled out a few elements to show you how we're carrying this across from objectives through variables. We are collecting more data for each objective and for each activity than is put here. But for example, one of the objectives under phase one is for CNPs to build partnerships with community-based organizations providing non-clinical services to help reduce cancer health disparities. And in fact, establishing such partnerships is really a key first step in community-based participatory research. So the corresponding activity here is they need to identify and form partnerships with these entities. And these are the types of data that we are looking at. So for example, some of the variables that we've collected to date is on each of these partnerships, we've collected the type of agreement that was signed, whether it was an MOU or something else, as well as the services provided by the partner. Some CNPs have adapted the national evaluation logic model for their own logic models, for their own local evaluation. This has really helped ensure that the local and the national evaluations are in sync, since several of them have developed their own systems that parallel ours. So they're collecting data not only that they then report to us for the national evaluation, but also additional data that they use for their own local evaluation. So having this logic model has been a useful tool for them as well. Step four is to implement the evaluation. We've collected data through the web-based system every 6 months. We provide training and technical assistance as needed for those who are actually inputting the data. That is for the process data collected through the web. Excuse me. We've also collected qualitative data. To date, we've conducted in-depth telephone interviews with all the CNPs. We did this last spring and early summer. And I'll talk briefly about our findings from those interviews at the end of the presentation. And we're also planning a series of site visits. One of the things that we're working on now is we're moving into the second phase of our analysis plan. So most of our data to date has been process data, and the analysis has therefore been very descriptive. We're now going to start looking at how can we link the predisposing factors, in this case the intervention, the educational activities conducted, to explain some of the observed changes in these intermediate outcomes. Because these are programmatic data, we usually have to do a fair amount of data cleaning before we can get to analysis, and this involves getting back to the CNPs frequently to have them clarify some of their responses. As I said, the data that we've collected to date has been processed, so our analysis has been necessarily descriptive. We have stratified our analysis by funding level. The CNPs were awarded at different levels depending on mostly the reach of their activities. So group one CNPs received $1 million or more, and they tend to operate at the national level. Group two CNPs tend to operate more at the regional level, so perhaps across one or two states. And group three CNPs are more local, so we've looked at some of the differences by funding level. We've also done some analyses looking at those CNPs that had this previous Special Populations Network Award that I mentioned. And because we now have collected 2 years of data, we've looked at some of the differences between year one and year two. I'm not going to go over all these different types of results from the different analyses, but I did want to give you just some sample findings from the analyses we've conducted to date. Okay. One of the things that is the base of community-based participatory research is to involve the community in your strategic planning, your design of your activities, and your implementation. So CNPs have done this by developing different types of advisory groups, and community advisory group is one way that CNPs have done this. So what's interesting to see here is if you look at funding level, the CNPs that were funded at the lowest level, group three, seem to have sort of on average established more community advisory groups than, for example, group two CNPs. We don't really know exactly why this is. One possibility is that most of these group three CNPs did not have this previous award. And one of the differences between the Special Population Networks Award and the community-based, the Community Networks Program Award is that the Community Networks put more of an emphasis on community-based work. So it may be that these group three CNPs, since they were starting fresh, they sort of reached out to the community more from the beginning. Okay. Here, this is about non-clinical partnerships. As I said, this is one of the objectives that the CNPs are working towards. And as expected, as I said, group one CNPs are those that operate at the national level. So we would expect that they would have established a greater number of partnerships. And this is shown here. If you look, they have established over 600 partnerships with non-clinical entities. So that makes sense. In terms of clinical partnerships, within 2 years, the CNPs have really established an impressive number of partnerships with clinical entities. And they provide a wide array of services under the agreements with the CNPs. It's important to point out that the CNP award does not include payment for clinical services. So these voluntary partnerships that the CNPs have been able to establish with these different clinical entities are the way that the CNPs can link their target populations with the services that they need. The framework of the community-based participatory research calls for grounding activities and interventions on needs assessments, understanding the needs of the communities. So the CNPs have worked with their community partners to conduct needs assessment studies, and what you can see from this table is that many of the communities continue to require basic education, basic information in sort of appropriate language or culturally appropriate materials. So the educational activities that the CNPs have implemented, and they've implemented over 5,000 educational activities in just 2 years of this program, they really address especially this need for basic information. And they do that through a wide array of venues, whether it's using mass media channels or health fairs or home health parties, where they go into people's homes and talk to 5 to 10 people at a time about different cancer-related topics. In addition to the educational activities, the CMPs are conducting focused intervention studies to study the effectiveness of different culturally appropriate approaches, and these approaches are aimed at increasing utilization of beneficial interventions in the target communities. So at the national level, we're tracking the types of intervention studies they are conducting, as well as the kinds of measures that they are collecting to determine the impact of their interventions. Some other measures that we're looking at in terms of CNP output include publications. So to date, 16 CNPs have reported to us with a total of 235 publications. Most of these are in peer-reviewed journals. Okay, as I mentioned, we conducted these interviews over the telephone with the 25 CNPs, and one of the things that what we were really looking for in those interviews was to get a better understanding of what determinants of disparities the CNPs were addressing, and what were they doing about it? What were the interventions or the solutions that they were putting into place? And as many of you know, I'm sure the literature on disparities focuses especially on these determinants. But one of the things that NCI has done, a positive step, is that it's taken this program, that they've looked not only at the determinants, but they've started to look at these solutions and really tried to map them. And we have started sort of over several working sessions, we started to identify the determinants and the solution and categorizing them at the whether they operate at the individual, community, or healthcare system level. So what are some of the lessons learned, and how has this impacted our evaluation? I talked about how CNPs are conducting interventions, and they're also collecting baseline data in order to assess the impact that they're having in their target community. But this has been a challenge. Collecting the data, knowing what kind of data is really appropriate, where can they collect the data to get something measurable at the end of 5 years. So one of the things that we have done in discussions with the NCI is to restructure the request to the CNPs to focus really on intervention effectiveness rather than sort of looking at changes at the community level, which it may not be feasible to see a change within 5 years. And we've continued to engage, and NCI has continued to engage the CNPs in discussions about local level data collection. Another challenge was, as I said, these determinants of disparities and identifying the measures for reducing cancer health disparities. So the focus on the determinants has helped us have a constructive discussion about that. One of the things that we've found is that it continues to take a lot of CNP labor effort to collect and submit data for us. So we've tried to be very responsive as much as we can. we try to stay in very close communication with the CNPs, especially those that are responsible for collecting the data and submitting it to that. We've tried to improve our web-based tools, facilitate navigation. We've also just recently, as we opened up the tool again for data collection, we're actually moving to continuous data submission so that CNPs will be able to, in a way, use our tool for their own data management purposes. So if you do an activity last week, you can record it right away instead of having to wait for 4 months before you have to record everything. So we're trying to be responsive as much as we can. And this is a cycle, so it comes back to step one. And step one is really engaging the stakeholders. We continue to broaden those that we define as our stakeholders. For example, the CNP community partners through their regional and community advisory groups. Also at NCI, the NCI has reached out to new levels of stakeholders. For example, the NCI has reached out to the National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities since that center implements similar programs. In closing, I just want to acknowledge, again, the CNPs. Obviously, we couldn't do our national evaluation without them, without their support, without their giving us all their data. They've been crucial to this. And also, I'd like to thank the NCI colleagues and my colleagues at CSR. Thank you.